They'll fight for freedom wherever there's trouble. G.I. Joe is there. G.I. Joe!
International heroes! G.I. Joe is there!
This is the G.I. Joe cast, still the original and best G.I. Joe podcast since 1999. We're keeping you updated on the G.I. Joe news you need to know about. This is episode 461, and I am your host, Brian Kilby. With me this week, we have Chris, a.k.a. Targat. Hey, Chris.
Why?
We have Rob. We have O-Ring. Hey, O-Ring, how's it going?
Yo, Joe.
Dr. Biggles Don.
Cobra.
And Snake Eyes.
Hey, guys.
Why do we put up with that asshole?
Okay, on the show this week, we have part 63 of a 75-part series on the Python Patrol. We have the newest episode of the Core Report from Rob Springer. The Alt Toys G.I. Joe Buzz from John DeLuna. So like normal, let's start off. Did anybody get anything new?
Are you kidding? Why would anybody have anything? They didn't have anything last week. There's never anything. Why? Why do you always ask this question?
And now you know how the 12-inch collectors feel. This has been forever now. God, when was the last time I actually found anything new in a store? I think it was the Walmart exclusive Adventure Team stuff like 10 years ago now. Nothing for the 50th anniversary of G.I. Joe at that scale. Nothing, I think, even for the 45th. It's just year after year after year of nothing.
Rob, we didn't care last week. We don't care this week. Suck it up.
I know. I know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Oh, shut the f*** up, O-Ring.
So I'm looking to troop build that Dollar General Shipwreck, the repaint. I'm working on pulling an even dozen of them together. I need two more. So any of you guys have one?
Who doesn't have one? I'll go get you five.
I just need two. Okay, so let's go ahead and jump to This Week in History. This Week in History, as you know, we look back 10 years to see what was going on this week. So the last week of March of 2006... Okay, there was nothing going on really this week in March in 2006.
But wow, what a shock.
But next week, I'm certain we'll have something. So let's go ahead and jump to Rob Springer and the Core Report. Take it away, Rob.
Yo, Joe, everybody, and here's Rob with the Core Report. This week in the Core, Core News HQ's the Twitter account has tweeted out teasers that brand new Core toys are coming soon, and they will have news about it relatively soon. And that's really exciting because we've all been enjoying the Core Elite toys, which are exclusive to Walmart here in America and other stores outside of America. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm looking forward to the announcements. I'm curious because, you know, each year the theme's a little different. I wonder if the Core is going to get a... new set of bad guys, because I've really enjoyed the Curse guys, but I'm wondering if we're going to get some new Curse members or maybe a new theme. Maybe the Marauders will come back, or maybe it'll be like Total Soldier and we won't have any clearly defined bad guys. Either way, looks like we got some more Core on the way soon, and I don't know about you guys, I can't wait. Here's hoping we get a 3-inch version of Oculus. I love my 6-inch Oculus. I'd love a 3 1/4 one. I'll let you guys know soon, as soon as we got some Core news. And back to you guys.
Okay, so thanks, Rob. Great as always. I'd love to see that something's thriving. Let's go ahead and jump to the ATG Buzz from John DeLuna.
Hey, everybody. It's your old friend John DeLuna with another ATG Buzz, all the action-packed discussion on alt.toys.gi-joe, the number one news group for G.I. Joe discussion. This week... All right, everybody, that's the exciting action-packed discussion on ATG, alt.toys.gi-joe. Catch you next week, where we'll dive into more of all the exciting topics being discussed on the premier G.I. Joe news group.
Okay, thanks, John. Let's go ahead and jump to Snake Eyes and part 63 of his 75-part series on the Python Patrol.
Yo, Joe, everybody. This is Snake Eyes, and this is part 74 of an 83-part analysis of Python Patrol. The Rock Viper was released in 1990.
And that's why we never went through with that G.I. Joe podcast idea. The end.
This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 461. I am your host, Brian Kilby, and with me this week, I have Matt, a.k.a. Melvar. I thought you flipped me off for a second.
I thought about it.
That would be great.
Diecast.
That's not going to be funny when I do it.
I know. Don, Chris, a.k.a. XV, Rob Clay, and John DeLuna. Guys, how's it going?
Not bad. Not bad.
LBC is all I got to say. 1 week.
BotCon. Last BotCon. The last BotCon. It's like the last Starfighter, right?
Oh, that's depressing.
I hope it's better than that.
See, I'm up by the beaches, so they always got to do like every like three-letter abbreviations for everything. Every beach is like, it's like LBI or this or that. And so, you know, BotCon is now LBC.
LBC.
And as someone mentioned on Twitter, it also does sound like a beer. So
yeah, it does sound kind of like a beer, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Rob Clay is an agent for MAD.
MAD? Mothers Against Drunk Driving?
No, the Dr. Claw MAD.
Oh, okay. I forget that. Hey, it's tangentially related to Transformers, you know, Frank Welker.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll get you very next time, Optimus.
Well, okay, even more than that, the same voice as Soundwave minus the vocoder.
Yeah.
Very tangential.
Yeah, it's true. Okay, so as Diecast alluded to, BotCon is next week. And it's our BotCon retrospective will be the episode of RSC that you'll hear. It's going to be awesome. It's already recorded. And we have several interstitials to air throughout the episode. And if you want to get on to be played during some of the segments, you can still do that. Today, as of
better hurry though.
Better hurry. As of recording today is Wednesday. You have until Saturday evening, basically end of the day, Saturday, April 2nd, to get that in. The best, easiest way is to leave us a voicemail at 931-99-GOBOT. That's 931-994-6268. And just leave us a couple of minutes of your favorite BotCon memories. We have a few of those so far, and they are great, so we would appreciate that. And again, because of that, no live show next Wednesday, so if you tune in live at tfradio.net/live or at tformers.com, we won't have anything, but we will post, I'll have the newest episode posted on our live page just so that you can get it if you forget. But again, we'll be at BotCon, so follow us on Twitter and Facebook if you're not already, at TF Radio and at facebook.com/TF Radio for live updates during BotCon. That could be a live stream, that could be photos, because we hopefully should post lots of photos this year, because last year we found out that you can post photos during the Hasbro panel.
Of course, we don't know that'll be the case again this year, but
we're
assuming.
We'll
see.
But
yeah, they didn't tell us we could last year. People just kind of did. And
then after the fact, we validated, yeah, it's okay. But what are they going to do? Kick us out of BotCon next year?
No, they'll kick us out of BotCon this year.
That's true. Darn, good point.
Although, this is the last opportunity to get kicked out of BotCon, so it might be worth it.
It could be. And again, so it could be live streams, it could be photos, it could be a meetup. So if we're in the lobby or something and want to meet fans, we may say, hey, we'll be in the lobby of the BotCon Hotel at, you know, a certain time. So who knows? So at TF Radio and at facebook.com/TF Radio. Let's see here. Other things. So Rob, a.k.a. Chaos Envy. Do you guys know Rob? On Twitter, a friend of mine reached out to me to let me know about the charity auction that Rob has going on. And they wanted me to mention this on the show. Rob posts art that he does to eBay and sells it. And all proceeds go to cancer research.
Hmm.
And I will link to that in the show notes.
Cool.
Yeah. So there's some good stuff in there, Transformers-related stuff. And let's see here. Hey, so we've had a podcast app for Radio Free Cybertron for about 3 years now, and it's kind of long in the tooth. So I went in and basically picked another developer to develop this one because the one who developed that one hasn't really... Yeah, I'm not really up to snuff. Not really happy with the old RFC app. So I really like the new RFC app that we've put together. It's currently on Google Play and on the Amazon App Store, and we also have a Get the Skinny app, which I think is probably even better than our RFC app. So if you want to check those out, they're both on Google Play, and the Get the Skinny app will be on the Amazon App Store soon. And I'm assured that the iOS app is coming along and will be on the Amazon, Apple App Store soon, or the iTunes. I don't own an Apple product, so I don't know what to call it.
That's great.
What is it?
iTunes Store.
The iTunes Store. Okay. Who has Apple anyway? Okay.
How dare you?
I'm an Android user. I don't get you guys.
I'm waiting now for a company to be like ColecoVision was in the early 80s and make a phone that runs both Apple and Android on the same phone so they could be shut down because Coleco made an Atari adapter for their system.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember that adapter.
It was a little looser back then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was like, we made a system that you could play our competitor's cartridge on our system. It's sort of like Kodak making an Instamatic camera. That didn't pan out well either.
And what's the closest modern equivalent? Bleemcast?
That's not modern. I wouldn't say. That's like 15 years ago.
Well, it's more modern than the ColecoVision, so.
By a factor of two, yeah, I would say.
Everyone remembers that, don't they?
Oh, of course.
Oh, yeah.
The Connecticut Leather Company. So let's see here. Anybody have anything new?
I got some new stuff.
What'd you get?
I got the little Q Transformer, which is not, or no, I'm so used to saying not. This is an actual official Transformer.
It's problems only Diecast has.
It's Skyfire, which he's nice. He's so cute, and Rob would be happy. Rob Springer would totally be happy because he ran around BotCon last year. BotCon or TFCon?
TFCon.
These. So he would be happy. And then I also got the Legends Thundercracker.
I might try to pick that up at BotCon.
Yeah.
I got one of those things in my pile of loot. I'm kind of just waiting for more stuff to come in to ship it because it's not going to need the mold urgently.
Yeah.
So it's pretty in the box. I definitely like their packaging.
Oh, yeah. The car has always had really nice packaging.
I mean, the window box, that's what all the 6-inch figures are going to over in over here. So hopefully the Transformers catches on.
Yeah.
Cool.
I picked up, it came in off, I went on eBay last week. I picked up Unique Toys Buzzing, which is their not blur. So I picked that up for a good price. And it's in my pile of loot, but I also got Thunderhoof, you know, and it needed a Thunderhoof. So I picked him up.
So Unique Toys, were they the ones who made garbage third party toys?
Unique Toys is made some pretty good stuff.
Media King. Right?
Yeah.
They did Media King.
Okay. I'm thinking who are the ones that did like the little mini...
Impossible Toys.
That was Impossible Toys.
Okay.
They don't exist anymore.
For Impossible Toys make any more toys.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, after watching a couple of reviews on them, I really wanted that blur looks really good. So
I saw a package shot of that blur the other day. Like, does the package seem as directly, you know, copying official Transformers packaging as it seems, like the modern style, or does that
let
just
me
kinda...
go get it? I'll be right back.
And now we'll just have a little bit of dead air while done.
Well, if I had known he got that before, I would have had this set up in advance. But, you know, if he would actually fill in on the show notes like, you know, a good host, like we're supposed to, like Diecast was doing 30 seconds before he started talking about his.
Just be happy he was wearing pants. If you made him get up and he wasn't wearing pants,
I'd be very upset.
Yeah.
I'm just happy it was on the top of the pile that of stuff he hasn't opened yet, so he didn't have to dig for it. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of blatant, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the front of it is modern packaging, and the sides are classic packaging.
There's no reason to even do that, to be honest. Like, that's just
not really.
Slap in the face.
Well, not, well, I mean, maybe, but I'll be honest, I kind of like at least the graphics because it does give you, it does sort of show you what the character, his thing is, and it's the speed.
Yeah,
the,
no, I'm talking more about, you know, just like the overall packaging style. Yeah.
But yeah. I went ahead and popped it open just to look at it when it arrived, and this is what he looks like in package.
Looks like Blur.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, for what that's supposed to be, which is like sort of a masterpiece alike, I would understand more if they were trying to ape modern Hasbro masterpiece style packaging. Takara style masterpiece packaging would probably make more sense, but that looks more like they're
Combiner
trying to
Wars
lift from,
packaging.
Yeah, they're trying to lift from generations, which doesn't really fit with this.
Yeah, he's going to be out of scale with Masterpiece Hot Rod, unfortunately. Even though Blur would be taller, probably anyway. But I just like this transformation. I've watched a couple of reviews from various people, and Blur's not one of those characters I ever had a great, huge love for, even though I love John Machida. But I really like the way some the engineering on this figure, so I'm looking forward to turning into him.
Cool. Anybody else? I got nothing.
I found Generations G-Axis from a couple of years ago for $7 at Ross.
Hey, there
good
you
deal.
Go.
Yeah.
Good figure, too.
We need to find you a Crosscut while that assortment's still at Ross.
Yeah, I'd like to find Crosscut and Nightmeat.
Crosscut's Night. Nice.
You know, if I can find one for $7, I want to hedge my bets as to whether or not we're actually getting a full-bodied Nightmeat anytime in the next year.
Oh, yeah. This doesn't count, but I did find that I forgot I had him. Jetstorm and Jetstream.
I am so sorry.
From Animated. I thought I sold these things about 2-3 years ago, and I found them in a box.
You could probably sell them now.
They probably brought them back.
Yeah, I'll probably take them to BotCon for BotCon fodder.
I think I gave mine away.
Yeah, it's sad when the Brave Toys did symmetrical docking a lot better 20 plus years ago.
That's because they didn't have to try to be poseable, Don. We've talked about this before.
Yes, I know. But
it's
still
a lot easier to do weird things with a brick than it is with something with ball joints.
They also didn't have to fit into, like, what was that, a $15, $20 price point for the pair of those?
I don't say 25, but
don't give me your logic. I don't hear no logic. I'm a Transformer fan.
So, let's see here. Did I mention last week that I finally picked up one of those KOG1 toys on eBay?
Yes, Reflector.
Okay.
Oh yeah. How'd it turn out, Brian?
It's amazing that I got it shipped for $40. And if you'd have shown me that like 10 years ago and I didn't know that you could KO something like that, I would have absolutely, totally, positively believed that it was real. It's amazing as a reproduction. Yeah.
Cool.
So, I mean, so I'm not necessarily... Here's the thing. Like, the thing I love about knockoffs is when they're weird. When you have something that's like an off color or something that's so preposterous as to be, you know, comical.
That Korean Star Saber Overlord.
Yes.
Yes.
But the Reflector is... He's a counterfeit. I would call that a counterfeit, not a knockoff.
I think that's a good distinction.
Yeah. But with that being said, I don't have to spend like $300 on a really nice, like, loose, you know, mitten box, though, Reflector now. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty sweet. Okay, so I'm going to jump to something I've been working on now for like 3 years. Since bringing back This Week in History, which, of course, I literally did it so I could talk about this.
Really?
Yes, literally. So, and this now becomes This Week in History. 10 years ago, this week, in 2006, the first show in the KISS Players radio drama series airs in Japan. Yep. Kiss Players, now 10 years old.
Kiss Players is now a classic part of the Transformers mythos.
It's now retro.
Well, Kiss Players is now the same age that the girls in the comics looked when it was published. So,
very nice.
So that means I'm not. Never mind.
Don't go there.
Yeah,
don't go there.
So we
have not talked about Kiss Players except in passing because I wanted to save it for this. Now we can talk about Kiss Players nearly every week. This is the year of Kiss Players for me. I'm so happy.
Is there going to be a 10-year anniversary for Kiss Players?
There should be.
You know, I would not doubt seeing some reissues of some of those molds. And for all of the sketchiness around some aspects of this part of the universe, there were some pretty good molds for toys that came out. So, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing some of those molds again. People that didn't get a chance to get them the first time around.
Are you talking about the cars or the other ones?
Or the figurines?
No, the Auto Trooper, the Mirage, the Hot Rod. Because that
right,
Mirage
but all
mold,
that stuff was just yeah, that was all just straight alternators mold reuses. That wasn't anything new to Kiss Players.
Broadcast was new.
But that's
no,
just
no, no, no,
the
no, no, no,
Skids
that,
mold, and
yeah.
That was the asterisk anyway. It wasn't Kiss Players.
Yeah, it wasn't Kiss Players. That's right.
I thought the Hot Rod mold was made during Kiss Players for that line, and then it became Mirage later on.
No?
No.
Okay, I'm okay.
Yeah, we got that here.
Okay.
Yeah. But Kiss Players, so basically, I will say, I have remained gleefully ignorant of the intricacies of Kiss Players because my general knowledge of Kiss Players, it's a story about how girls kiss Transformers.
No, that's correct.
That's pretty...
Yeah,
it's so.
I was reading on the wiki today because I wanted to dispute that today was actually the anniversary you've been waiting so long for, but in the process I actually found out like this was a response to that Galaxy Force didn't really do well in Japan, so like the line aimed at kids performed poorly. Let's go in as far the opposite direction as we possibly can, and thus Kiss Players.
Yeah. So there's a comic, right? There's the radio dramas, and there are the toys. That's pretty much...
There was like four toys, I think.
Oh, that's it? There's an Optimus.
There wasn't much.
There's an Optimus, there's a Hot Rod.
I guess five toys. Okay, so Optimus, Hot Rod, something else. Maybe it's just...
The Auto Trooper.
You know, I was trying to think if there was something between Hot Rod and the Auto Trooper, but it might just be those. And then they did a bigger figurine of the Auto Trooper's partner with a smallest Transformer Auto Trooper. So, yeah, it might just be those four toys.
Well, there was also the cassette recolors and the Sparkabot recolors, too.
That was year two stuff, though.
Yeah. Well, I thought you meant just, like, in general for the whole line. Sorry.
But yeah, this is a momentous occasion, and I will just reiterate how I learned about Kiss Players. So this was a period when I was kind of out of the fandom. I wasn't paying attention to anything. I was busy working out 5-10 hours a day in my OCD mode, and I was getting lunch one evening with M. Cipher, Greg Sapolak, and we were talking, and he told me about this really stupid Transformers line that featured underage girls dressed scantily who kiss Transformers. I laughed, and he reaffirmed that no, he was completely serious, and it was the most stereotypically Japanese series that ever existed.
Yeah, Diecast, I agree. I need that too.
Yeah, Diecast just took a drink, and yeah, this is the shape that Transformers was in Japan at that point. So things are pretty good now.
Japan, you so crazy.
You so crazy. And also, today is Rob Springer's birthday, which is almost fitting. But this Kiss Player story is actually technically from next week, but we're not going to be doing a show next week. So
happy birthday, Rob, and Kiss Players.
And Kiss Players. Yep. Okay, so the BotCon Diecast, I think, has named this to the last BotCon blog, LBCB. Okay, so the Transformers Hall of Fame 2016. Vote now for your favorite characters and music. When is this due?
I don't know. Go look on the Facebook thing.
Let's see here. You have one vote per
probably
category per person.
Sometime in the next week.
Well, it has to be.
I would assume.
It has to be. So go to, this is on Facebook, go to the Transformers Facebook group and vote. If you don't
They're
vote,
doing it the same way they did the Trypticon, Scorponok, Omega vote.
Yep, and if you don't vote, you can't complain. Okay, and...
And everybody should vote for Weird Al.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I'm going to reserve. I don't want to shape the vote.
I've voted and I'm happy the way that I voted.
So vote about Cosmos.
Well, I'm not on Facebook, so somebody has to vote for Weird Al for me.
But then they lose their vote.
I don't care about them.
Or you could just join Facebook so you could vote and then not.
That's a gateway.
Yeah.
Get rid of horrible things.
Okay.
I think the more important question is, in the one category, who do you choose between Galvatron and Optimus Primal?
Galvatron. One, because I almost think Optimus Primal should be the vote because it's the 20th anniversary. But if that wasn't the case, I would probably pick Galvatron.
Yeah.
I'll see if I can get Brian to hang up on me twice in one night. You should vote for Galvatron because Beast Wars sucks.
Bye, Matt. I was just guessing.
I think you tipped that one a little bit, Don.
All right.
Yep, I did it. Yep.
Well, that's one.
Oh. No, you already did.
Actually,
you
missed the first time tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, what happened?
He said the same thing, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much same thing.
Well, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to tell you how I voted, because I'm proud. I voted for Optimus Primal.
Way to go, Don.
I voted for Cosmos.
That's just Prime.
I can agree with that.
I voted for Cosmos, and I voted for Lion, because I do love I love Weird Al, but Lion did such a great job on the theme for the movie. I really want to give them some props if the chance occurs.
That would be my second pick, Don.
It's been our theme song for almost 20 years, but I got to go with Weird Al. Yeah.
Yep. Well, the man's got a whole bunch of Grammys, so he can skip this one.
Are the guys from Lion still alive?
Well, I don't think they're called Lion.
Lion was just made up for the soundtrack,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, so it was something, like, isn't Lion like two or three of the bands from the soundtrack?
Hey, if you were a member of Lion back in the 86 movie and you recorded...
Leave us a voicemail at 931-99-GO-BOT.
Get in touch with us.
So maybe you could be on the show, but I'm not certain. Yeah.
You could be our Tommy Kennedy.
Yeah.
Come tell us all about when you formed this group to sing the song, because you have been an influential part from that opening theme for a very long time. So contact us so we can get all the knowledge.
Who published the music for the movie?
Scotty Brothers. Yeah. But I think Spectre General, Lion, and NRG, I think at least two of those are the same band.
I read recently somewhere, it was in an article off T-Formers, I thought, that NRG was still playing just under a new name, but they were still the same band, I think.
Yeah, I'm totally wrong, and somebody's yelling at me right now, but I...
Well, let's check the chat.
The only person active in the chat this week is Rufus, Captain Rufus.
We got a couple more people in there right now.
Oh well, I can't get in, so I got kicked out. Yeah,
it does that.
Why?
Yeah. Oh yeah, I don't know. I got kicked out. Now I can't log in. But you should join us at tfradio.net/live. Okay, so let's see here. Blah 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 blah. Sorry, I'm reading our internal Skype conversation and I can't comment on it. And I'm sick and I want to laugh and cough at the same time. Okay, let's see here. Okay.
If only you knew how funny this stuff really was. It's even funnier than some of my jokes, which is saying...
Oh, God, Don. Okay, so official news. First images of Unite Warriors Computron confirm...
I was right about everything.
You were right about everything. So... That is actually what I used for the album art this week. So this is a big deal. Yeah, this is a big deal. So tell us, remind us what you theorized a couple weeks ago, and tell us what we have going on.
Okay, so whereas the Hasbro Computron is going to be like smokescreen, Brawl, and I think Air Raid Retooled, the Unite Warriors one is going to be probably it's the Wheeljack retool breakdown. We can tell that by the spoiler in the louvered back window. No sign of retooling yet because we're only seeing it in combined mode. We see Rook's retooling now, which the whole top shell of the vehicle has been replaced by just a cockpit and drill unit, which will kind of work, I think, in terms of a drill tank, because the arms have the cannons on them, so it can look like a turret or weapons rack. And then, yeah, it's blast off for the strafe arm with new retooling. So what we didn't figure out from the initial silhouette, though, the entire chest has been retooled, and there is a completely new combiner head, both of which look really, really nice.
Yeah, the head looks great. Let me pull it up. Dang, that looks nice.
Yeah.
And that's a new combiner weapon, too, isn't it?
It is, yeah. So there's a large rifle and two smaller guns, which are shown able to peg together.
I am totally buying both.
Yeah, so, okay, Computron is a general release in Japan, so the pre-order price for it is about $130 through the U.S. retailers. The Hasbro gift set version is going to be $100 to start with. You know, for as much new and different as is in this, it's not that much more money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am totally ignoring it.
The only thing to watch out for... Go ahead, Rob.
I'm just trying to figure out how much I want Scrounge.
I don't want Scrounge enough to not get new uses of molds I like and new uses of new molds.
Yeah, that's a good point.
The only thing to watch out for, I think, is if Takara just kind of screws over the deco by making it like too cartoon focused or something. That's the only thing that can still go wrong. What, Rob?
I said, which they have been known to do, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Drag strip.
So, actually, thinking about it, you're talking about the price of the box set. I just, out of curiosity, checked to see what G2 Superion has dropped down to at this point. $83.
Yep.
Oh, man.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Hey, Brian, before we move, are we done with Computron?
Yeah.
Okay, before we move on, I just wanted to mention one more thing that's in the BotCon notes that we kind of skipped over about the...
Oh, thank you, Don.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are at BotCon on Friday evening. There will be a free concert with Vince DiCola and Stan Bush at BotCon.
It's down the street.
Well,
at the 4th Street Live venue.
It's like right outside my hotel.
Right. Well, basically, it's for BotCon 2016, kind of, but it's right down the road. So if you're going to be there, to everybody, again, it's free Stan Bush concert. It's like, you know, awesomeness for your ears. So
Don, yes. are you going to try to request that he sings that song from Sailor Moon?
No.
You've got the power?
No. Well, yes, that's the song. But no, that's probably a whole can of worms.
She's got the power.
It's a Bandai song at a convention with Takara based toys. No, that's probably
What about Speed Racer?
So, but yeah, but there will be a...
Alexa, play Fight to Survive by Stan Bush.
Fight to Survive by Stan Bush.
Alexa, stop. Okay, sorry.
That's not...
Had to get that in there. Sorry.
Okay, so anyway, if you're going to be at BotCon... be sure to look for the RFC cast at the concert, and we'll,
or don't. I don't know if my wife wants people to come up and randomly talk to us.
Well,
too late. Don's already said.
I'll be there. I'm sure some of y'all will be there. Let's rock out with Stan Bush one last time, and let's bang our heads to some fun music.
Yeah, no, yeah, totally. If you see us, grab us.
LBC.
Oh God.
Yeah, if you see Kilby and his wife, you know, stop by, say hi, tell him Headmaster Don sent you.
I'm saying this is the last BotCon. This is the last time we could see Stan Bush in concert for a very long time.
That's true. Yeah.
So let's make the most of it.
Yeah, I want to see it. I've never. I did skip the one chance I had to see Stan Bush play live before because I had something else to do. But I am not going to skip this. I will absolutely make this.
Yeah, I might go.
It's free.
Yeah,
it's free. I'm going. So,
yeah.
Chris, you and I will go, man, and we will rock out.
It's going to be worth it, Don, just to see Don.
Not making this more enticing.
No, it'll be worth it just to see Don rock out.
I want to see Don rock out.
Okay, you saw what happened when Phil Collins came on. This is Stan Bush. Yes. This is just as good.
I wish I had video of that.
We need to find a bowling alley.
And get Stan Bush to come with us?
I bet he would.
That would be a better thing than what I was going to say. No,
Stan
likes us. We need to find a bowling alley and get the owner to play Stan Bush while Don is bowling.
I'm going
to
tweet Stan real quick and see if he'll go bowling with us.
Do it. I'm
okay.
In.
So we get Stan to go bowling with us, and we get the owner to play Stan Bush, and Stan sings along.
Yeah,
and then I can sing along again like I did last year. But
hey, whatever works for you, Don.
Yeah.
Whatever nails you those strikes, Don.
This is going to be one LBC.
That's awesome. Hey, so I'm looking at Twitter right now. I'm not feeling well, and I am completely thrown off. So I haven't looked at Twitter or tweeted out that we're streaming live. Sorry. But our friend Jason Kirk just tweeted out about an hour ago what he's doing right now, which is watching us and drinking a cheer wine.
All nice. Right.
That's awesome.
That's nice. Awesome.
I wish I was drinking a cheer wine.
Yeah.
We're going less than a week.
So in the chat, yes. Captain Rufus just put forward Stan Bush versus Scott McNeil bowling combat. I'm afraid Scott's not going to be there, but that sounds like a great idea.
That would be.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. Let's see.
Oh, my gosh. I just thought, I'm sorry. Scott McNeil and Dinobot's voice singing The Touch.
No.
No. Scott McNeil, Dinobot voice, She's Got the Power.
Y'all never even saw Sailor Moon. You don't even know what that song is.
I've heard that song plenty of times.
Come on.
Okay, so I put something in the wrong place in the show notes. We have panel details from BotCon. The highlights are Saturday. The Hasbro panel is earlier in the day than normal. It's at 11 o'clock. There's a Greg Berger and a Venus Turzo Q&A. There's a Beast Wars anniversary.
There's an Aaron Archer Q&A somewhere.
That would definitely
be
worth going to.
Yeah.
I would love hearing Aaron talk about some of the stuff that he wanted to do but never got to is fun. And there's a BotCon Over the Years panel, which might
Sunday
be
cool. afternoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which that might be interesting depending on who gets to go to that. But overall, like last year, there was only like a couple of panels that I really enjoyed. It seems that they've sort of been slipping in the panel area over the last couple of years. And being that this is the last one, I was hoping that we would have a better selection. But because, I mean, like going for the panels is one of the big things for me because I love the panels. But, yeah.
Yeah, out of the 3 days, I see about four that interest me.
Maybe there will be some pleasant surprises.
Maybe less than that.
Well, there's also the script reading on Friday, too.
I never care about script readings, Don.
Oh, I mean,
it was important to be the script reading for 2012 because there's no record of it because everything went wrong.
It didn't get recorded, yeah.
Yeah.
That was, yeah.
But other than that...
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But it's the last BotCon, LBC.
LBC.
And yeah. Okay. So let's see what else we got going on. Oh, so Takara pre-orders went up this week for Legends and Adventure. So it looks like the Unite Warriors line, I guess Unite Warriors is completely going away. And everything that we have in Titans Return is being folded into Legends? Or is it Adventures?
Legends.
Yeah, I don't know that it's fair to say that Unite Warriors is going away because it's always been a separate thing from the Legends line. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's hard to say what's
and
going
the
on with
same,
that.
The same retailer order form that all this stuff came from also had a page for Computron. So,
well, I mean, like, you know, Combiner Wars is going away, so I'm comparing that as an analog.
Okay.
Yeah, so as in the analog in the U.S. for Combiner Wars is Titans Return.
Although I still don't know that that's completely accurate, because as Rob correctly points out, Unite Warriors has been treated as a separate line, whereas Combiner Wars and Titans Return here are both the Generations line.
Yeah. Well, so ultimately, Titans Return, though, is going to be part of Legends.
Yes,
Japan.
Yeah. Which we knew already. What we have found out new, though, is that where the Combiner Wars Legends class figures have been folded into Transformers Adventure, that size class is being run as Legends in for the Titans Return stuff, and they will all come with little Titan Masters. So Shockwave has cancer.
That's horrible.
Poor Shockwave.
Yeah, I know.
Need
Rewind has Nightbeat specifically, that has not been like recolored into Minerva. Or was Rewind with Ghost Shooter, one or the other?
Willy's with Ghost Shooter, yeah.
Yeah. So those are the ones we know about right now. And from the look of it, I didn't catch this at first, but based on the pricing, it looks like Blur and Scourge are not going to come with a Titan Master vehicle because they're a little bit lower priced than the than Hardhead and Skullcruncher, and I think one of the later ones.
The mystery character.
Yeah, mystery character.
Yeah.
Any idea? I mean,
well, I mean, Mindwipe, Chrome Dome, Brainstorm, any of those that we know exist that have not shown up in the solicitations specifically yet.
So why is it listed though as a mystery character? Because they just haven't decided yet? They're trying to...
Are we sure it's in that size class?
Yeah.
Based on the pre-order pricing that's gone up on the US websites, it's consistent with a deluxe that has a Titan Master vehicle.
We haven't seen a Mindwipe yet, have we?
Yeah, we have.
We saw Mindwipe. We haven't seen
Legends?
A Japanese Mindwipe.
Legends? That's what I'm asking about.
Yeah, no, we haven't seen that. But until, 5 days ago, we hadn't seen anything beyond Hardhead, Skullcruncher, and Galvatron.
Yeah, my guess would personally be for
Brainstorm?
Yeah, Brainstorm, because he's the only one out of the characters that we know that hasn't officially been announced in US. So
yeah, I mean that's kind of what I was thinking with that too, based on the same reasoning.
Yeah.
The only reason to solicit it as a mystery character is because there is a reason that they cannot say what it is right now. I don't know specifically that they would abide by Hasbro's reveals necessarily, but I can't think of another reason why they could not go ahead and say, here's Chrome Dome, here's Mindwipe, So, that's the best guess I have, too.
Yeah. I really want to see Fortress Maximus to see what
are.
You know what I mean? Because that's a large price point.
Well, if he's got the sword, we might as well go ahead and assume he's going to be Grand. Well, he could be Fortress Maximus because Fortress had the sword.
He'll be Fort Max with a sword.
But he could also be Grand.
It actually looks like Cerebros will have his own sword too.
Which is the way Grand... actually both did, but... I'm just wondering if they're going to come out of the gate with Grand.
If they Maximus do that, they'll first. Wait. If they do that, they'll wait.
And we didn't get a reissue Grand Max, so
that's true.
And they could have easily have done that.
Although considering how much and how often Encore Fortress Maximus has gone on sale.
Yeah, but also one thing about that though, how many though did they? They were around for a while. But how many did they actually sell as far as production numbers? It's because they still could
not as many as they were planning on, apparently,
so,
if they kept going on sale.
So Big Bad, of course, had that clearance this year, and it didn't sell through. They had a good price on it at BotCon last year.
And
it didn't sell through. So I'm hoping to get it cheap at BotCon this
year. Yeah, because mine's just naturally yellow. I mean, like I said, I've been keeping mine under dark sheets, and he's still yellowing
it's
like crazy.
It's the best thing I've ever seen.
I mean, like, some of that is just oxidation. It's not
it's not
specifically light exposure. So as far as Legends Fortress Maximus goes, my expectation would be there would probably be deco differences for sure, but physically it's probably going to be the same thing that SDCC will have to offer.
I'm just wondering, is it going to be worth the roughly, $70 difference, give or take?
I don't even know about that, because, like, SDCC's Devastator was $180 last year, and I'm expecting the base retail of Fortress Maximus to be higher than Devastator's base 150, so the SDCC might hit 200 easily. If the exchange rate stays the way it is, Legends Fortress Maximus is being listed at 25,000 yen, So I think the difference in that could be in the, you know, $35, $40 range between SDCC and the Japanese version.
Right.
Yeah. Who knows?
The important difference, though, is the catalog that these scans came out of does say that it will have original sound gimmick for the Japanese release.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Speculation as to what it might be.
Yeah, probably phrases from the headmasters.
Yeah.
So if you want your Fortress Maximus to shout head on, this is probably.
I kind of do.
It's
tempting. Hopefully the chip is big enough that it plays the background transformation music from that episode where he transforms for the first time. So as you're transforming him, you have the background music playing.
So what I want...
I mean, they could compress that to death.
Easily.
I want to see the Malaysian release, though.
Yes, okay, so I was going to say this. I wanted to say, head on! And I want to say, head on! Yeah, like
that.
Oh,
look at Don just dying there in the distance.
I wanted to head on.
You get mad at me from Miracle Whip, and you like these horrible... God awful.
Don, I love these horrible.
But Don, there's an important difference. I don't have to taste these dub tracks.
Yeah.
You don't have to because they destroy your ears and you destroy your mouth and they destroy all your senses and you're left numb and blind and dumb because these dubs are so horrible.
No, that's the Miracle Whip, Don.
Yeah, that's the Miracle Whip. Definitely.
People listening, they're slamming me for Kronos, Miracle Whip. Apparently it's open game.
All
so
bad things, yes.
Yes, yes.
Not we had Dawn things, using like... bad words in the pre-show. It was pretty bad.
Yes.
You're not supposed to abuse old people.
He's not old. Bad Dagcast.
He's experienced.
Yes, he is.
I have a lot of experience points under my belt.
Okay, so let's see here. Combiner Wars Promotional Deluxe Groove in Hand Photos. So, and there's also now today a YouTube review up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the only place I've seen him up for order was sold out. So, has anyone seen him up for order anywhere else other than that one site?
No.
Because they are sold out.
US is imminent that we're going to get this.
Oh, yeah. It's just, I was just looking
around. I think
around.
We'll find out next week.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Probably so. If they're gonna do another May Madness like they did for Quickslinger and Breakneck, we will probably find that out next week. If it's going to be later, that's probably going to be another one of those things like last year where they contact the websites and the stores quietly. You can't talk about this, but this is coming up on this date, so get ready for it.
Main thing I want to see next week is if the in-hand Lyle Kaiser. I want to make sure that's actually coming out.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
I want to see in person a Titans Return Galvatron in plastic colors just to verify that, yes, I can tolerate this.
Because, yeah.
Like, it's probably okay because of the Australian Toy Fair one. It's probably okay. I need to make sure.
Yeah. Okay, so... So how much was it? Go ahead.
As far as groove goes, I've seen side-by-side pictures. The Hasbro one, the only difference is that the clear red paint for the lights is a little more pale. Otherwise, they're basically identical.
So the site that had this up for order, how much was it?
23?
Really?
No.
It was something like that, but it looked like a thing of, like, you know... retail cost plus a little markup for profit. I don't think they were sourcing it directly.
Awesome.
Is the thing.
I'm looking it up right now. Give me two shakes.
Hey, that's better than 80.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And yes, if this comes out in the US, I will buy three of them and make myself a defensor with all groove limbs just because.
That would be awesome.
So I guess you could say it would be how defensor got his groove back.
Well, Don, the problem is I already made that joke when I started posting pictures of Unite Warriors Defensor way back.
Sorry.
And when I attached Deluxe Groove to the chest.
Okay, sorry. Yes, it was in stock for $22.90 US. It is not in stock now.
It's not. Let's check eBay. I'm going to check eBay real quick.
I mean, there's got to be a few up on eBay from Taiwan.
Where'd you find
there
this?
A lot more if they
eBay.
Are. Let's see here. And that's a third party, G1 Deluxe. If you want the Combiner's War is versioning it for like $6 if you want the Legends.
That's $1 more than I paid for mine.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm not seeing it. I'm certain it's up there, though, somewhere. Okay, so let's see here. That's it for official news. Hey, so like I mentioned before, if you didn't pick up G2 Superion, he is $83.
That's pretty good.
$83, and I love mine. Apparently, that's what Rob Springer got for his birthday today.
Oh.
Love it. It's a fantastic toy. $83. You can get it at tfradio.net/G2. And, of course, Radio Free Cybertron is brought to you by you. Do all of your Amazon shopping from tfradio.net just by clicking on the Amazon link. And Amazon sends back a little bit of money our way to help us pay for the show.
And I believe Amazon does still have G2 Minasaur in stock for under retail, although I think slightly less under retail than Superion.
Yeah, $97.37 right now.
Yeah.
But again, prime shipping. Somebody else has it for $80 with shipping, though, $15 shipping, so for $95. But I would go with prime shipping, of course, because it's shipping directly from Amazon. So,
and, you know, you'll have it in 2 days.
Yep. And, guys, which do you guys like more, Minasaur or Superion?
I only have Superior.
I think Superion is a better constructed toy, but
Minasaur has better colors.
What did you originally say, Matt?
Superion.
Okay.
He is the superior toy, but Minasaur has the better colors.
Well, see,
I love them both.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've always said this about Superion is one of the most symmetrically balanced figures from a silhouette standpoint. But color-wise, he's one of the most boring because it's the same three or four basic colors.
And body plans.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, but he looks visually balanced.
He does, yeah, you're exactly
right.
But
it's just the colors are so... That's why G2 Superion is such a welcome change because you get some color and not just this swath of white and red.
So one thing, if you ever shop at Amazon, and you should... sometimes they have the thing where it says frequently bought together, and it'll give you the two items for one price. You can get both of them, Minasaur and Superion, for $180.36.
Which is not bad.
It's not bad at all.
Okay. Hey, Brian, there is one groove on eBay right now. It's at $42 with two bits.
Yeah, I'm not going to spend that much.
Wait until next week.
And $30 shipping.
Actually, no, Kilby, what you need to do is Saturday at 9 a.m., get on eBay and buy the first deluxe groove you can find and pay for it immediately.
Mm-hmm. And then they'll announce it.
Yes, and then I'm going to point a video camera at you during the Hasbro panel.
Okay.
Like, we lost out on the Masterpiece Optimus thing in 2012, but we're going to make something happen this year.
Okay, let's see what we can do. Yeah, but there you go. Let's see here. And that's it. Thanks, Amazon. tfradio.net/Amazon. Third-party news, Fans Project. Now, this was interesting. I didn't know about this. Warbot,
I guess
Die.
You didn't this pay attention was at TFCon.
No, yeah. This was at TFCon.
Well, I didn't see it. I don't remember it. There's so many things at TFCon that you just forget. Like, you know, at BotCon, you get like a little bit of Transformers news. At TFCon, it's like a water hose of like third party news all thrown at that third party panel had like 600 slides.
Yeah. In an hour.
Yeah.
Ryan did it this year. That was crazy that he was able to do all of that. So
it was a lot. It was, you know, hard to get photos of every slide. It was going so fast.
Right. Diecast, buy a 4K camera, point it at the screen, and then afterward just, you know, pull screenshots off.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But the 4K camera is important, Diecast. You have to buy that.
I have a 4K camera on my phone.
No, but Diecast has to buy a 4K camera.
before BotCon.
He can't use his phone. He has to buy a 4K camera for this purpose.
That's not a bad idea, though.
Well, no, it's a great idea to actually, you know, film the screen in as high resolution as you can.
Diecast, you send out photos, I'll take video.
Okay.
We'll do that. But so this is a Diatlas homage. Thing is, like, I totally get it, but he's tiny.
like 9 inches tall, I think.
Yeah, like how do you do a diatlas that's like this scale?
But maybe it scales with like those Iron Factory figures.
Yeah.
But he is very pretty.
It's very nice looking.
I love the way the colors are.
I agree.
You know, I'm just over Fans Project's visual style.
Yeah.
Well, this is a remold of the Alpha Trenix design.
Yeah.
Trenix Alpha, and I think I prefer this version because the Trenix Alpha version is a Diaclone homage, I believe. But I think I prefer these colors just as far as a visually more than the other versions.
So, but with the serial number WB007, I originally thought it was a Warbitron. So
no, it's just a Warbot. Series.
Warbot. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's very nice looking, and again, it's that scale. Don't know that it necessarily makes sense, but I like the fact that it's a Diatlas. You know, like more zone, please.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good point. That's great. I look at this and it doesn't do anything for me.
And what's good is if you had picked up their Sonic Bomber recolor of their Brainstorm.
Yeah, Smart Robin. You're right.
Yeah, you've got
Combs Robin. That one was.
Yeah, you've got two of the three. And I'm sure eventually whenever we get the hard head from the Function X line, that'll probably be the Roadfire homage at some point, and you'll have your own version of Big Powered.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right. Okay, so TSC Toys, Big Bite, an official Seacon Scaler color sample photo. Yeah, it sure is.
it looks scaler. Cool.
It does. Is this the second or third Piranacon set?
I think this is the first one.
Yeah, this is the first Piranacon. I mean, it looks great.
Nobody's done Seacons before this.
Yeah.
Why? I mean, like, instead of having, like, 15, you know, Constructicons, why not have a Seacon before now?
Well, I mean,
TSC was really that company that needed to be like, all right, who's not making something, or what character's not being made so we can make...
Well, they tried that with the aerial bots, and it didn't work out so well for them.
Yeah, yeah. Although, I mean, they're hitting it with Leo Kaiser, though.
Yeah.
Well, Nobody's doing that.
Yeah. Here's the thing that I would like to see someone do in a third party. If they're making Seacons, Piranacon really had no Autobot counterpart. If someone wants to jump on the bandwagon, make an original Autobot counterpart to Piranacon.
No one will buy it.
Yeah, the original stuff doesn't sell. I mean, look at...
Well, that's true, because I've got Exorealm. I've got the combiner from that. And it's a great G1 combiner for in the G1 format, but...
I'm thinking of what are they called? The
Glacial Lords.
The Glacial Lords.
That's what I'm talking about.
I was going to call them the Frostbots, but I couldn't think of the name.
That works too,
the Frostbots.
It does.
Yeah. Hell, I mean, what would you even make as an Autobot counterpart to the Seacons?
Warships. Battleship.
Warships would be good.
Okay. Tugboat, submarine, destroyer, aircraft carrier, battleship.
He's on to something here. I like
that. I've had these designed for the past 20 years in my head. Trust me, they'll work.
Okay, so like they need to mirror the Seacons and have a sixth member that could become a weapon.
A lifeboat.
And that one always gets taken out first, and they yell, "You sank my battleship."
So how about this? How about like ships that would have sunk? So you'd have like a pirate ship, maybe the Titanic, maybe an Ironclad or something.
The Titanic can form two robots.
Yes.
An Ironclad combiner piece would be cool.
Yeah.
Well, hey, you know, Shockwave could use a friend.
Yeah.
I mean, that was great that they did that for that, but that's so big and unwieldy.
But he's beautiful.
Yeah.
And again, you know, just compared to a lot of the stuff we're seeing, points for taking the chance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I just wish the Seacons were more on my, ooh, I need a new version of him. But he looks great. It's just Seacons are not what you would call a...
What I want are all the versions of the Seacons. Like, I would love to have the Collector's Club or the BotCon, yeah, Collector's Club version of that mold that came out years ago, which I almost bought at BotCon last year.
You should have.
I would love to have the Beast Wars second set.
God Neptune.
And the King Poseidon, was there any different coloration of that? Okay.
Yeah. You know what, you know, if this set is popular, I'm hoping they'll create a G2 set of this. Because the colors could be absolutely horrific.
Well, that'd be your Collector's Club deco.
Oh yeah, then I've already got that.
Okay. Yeah.
Sorry, Don, I just gotta ruin your day.
Okay, so third party news. This is this is also a BotCon news item. So we were there last year when Brian Savage showed up at some of the third party parties that
and expressed, you know, the concerns about putting signs up on the hotel's walls.
Yeah. And so, and of course, at BotCon, third party stuff has been officially banned, but it's been more banned certain other years than, you know, than others. So this year, very much banned. Extremely banned. So
they even put in the brochure, you can't sell third party stuff out of your room.
Yeah. So so last year at our hotel, because we didn't stay at the BotCon hotel, there was basically a third-party con, which was effectively just a big dealer room set up in the hotel. Who were the folks that did that?
Agabus.
Yeah. And that was fun. We went, and we got a chance to look at stuff, and we got our first look at a few things, like Pandinus and a couple other things.
Oh, yeah.
But this...
And some pretty good deals, you know, as far as some purchases, too.
Yeah. So this year, the third-party con is going to be in the Hyatt. Is the Regency?
Regency, yeah.
Yeah. Which is down the street from the BotCon Hotel. And it's going to be put on by our friends at Captured Prey.
Huh.
And you can go pick up third-party stuff if you want to buy it.
So what night does that start?
It's running through the whole thing, isn't it? Let me go back to Duran's post.
Right, but the question is, what night does it start?
It starts on Thursday. I think they're having a kickoff party.
Okay. I might go to that because I don't think I have anything else to do Thursday night.
Yeah.
Unless we go eat.
I'm sure we will.
Well, yeah, but I mean, how long are we going to spend eating?
A long time.
it depends where we go. I mean...
So, you know...
We need to find a sketchy Chinese buffet.
Yeah, so this is definitely something we need to do. And I'm going to take a minute here just to talk again about... This is the last BotCon. And this will be our last chance... Yeah, this will be the last chance for us to get together at BotCon. So this is going to be huge.
This is going to be the last BotCon third party party, the LBC 3PP.
Yes!
Okay, sorry, Thursday, they will be there from an estimated 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Oh, something to do when we get
all
there.
Day.
Yes,
okay.
So Thursday through Sunday. And, of course, I'm assuming they'll have their official stuff, too.
Yeah, so...
Well, they can sell their official stuff at the actual convention, though. So.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, like...
I would tend to assume whatever... space they've secured for this purpose, they will focus on this purpose.
I guarantee you, but they have a whole room, not a hotel room. They have like a ballroom,
right? But like they probably want to, if they're going to that expense.
Don't disagree, but they are going to have 2 days where people aren't going to necessarily be able to go into the BotCon dealer room to buy stuff. Thursday definitely, and Friday for all you walk-in lepers, you know you're not going to be able to go.
We're press.
Maybe they'll just have some official stuff hidden down behind their counter in the ballroom, you know, out of sight, so it doesn't offend anybody.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But you know, if you know the secret passcode, you can go up and be like, you know.
And I'm joking about the walk-in lepers. That's how I described myself years ago when I was a walk-in. I kind of felt like a leper because I couldn't do anything.
And if you want, if there's anyone that's at BotCon that you don't want to be there, just buy some of this third-party stuff.
And tape it to their back.
Room and put it in their room and then put flyers around that they're selling third-party items out of their room.
Oh, I don't know that would work, but that would be awesome. That would be fun to try. Oh, man. Man, we're not going to be able to pick on BotCon anymore.
We'll always have the memories, though.
I know.
We've gotten so much mileage out of that, though.
I know. And I am really sad, though, again, because BuckCon's been such a huge part of my life. I hate to see it go. And it's been, and sometimes, again, comedy relief. But overall, it's the good has, for me, the good has far outweighed the bad. So.
Yeah, I mean, even, and I hate to say, there's something special about an official convention. There's panels that you can get at an official convention that you wouldn't be able to get at an unofficial convention.
Basically just the Hasbro panel.
Yeah. Or you know, some of the people that are directly related with Hasbro, like the people from Takara that came over last year, that wouldn't happen at an unofficial convention. So there's plenty of Transformers conventions out there now to kind of fill a void, but it'll never be all the way filled unless you're getting that official representation.
Like, I really love TFCon. I really do. I mean, the ones I've gone to have been really enjoyable. I love Shardicon. The convention, like the gathering of people, I think, like, at these conventions is as good as BotCon, but that official presence means a lot. And for a lot of people, that's what tips over the balances the scale. It says, well, I'm going this way and I'm actually going to go to the convention instead of skipping it, because some people really need that official footprint that you don't get at the TFCon. I get it. I totally get it. I was that way too, but now after having more of these unofficial conventions under my belt, I do enjoy them, but it is not the same. Yep. Bummer. Gosh. Hey, Don.
Yes.
Let's have some pun with Don.
Okay.
Kill some time for a couple of minutes.
All right. Always glad to help out. This week I'm going to talk about something. It's not directly related to Transformers, but it originated with Transformers: Dark of the Moon. But don't turn us off. Don't turn us off. I'm not talking about Dark of the Moon. I'm just saying it originated with that. And I'm going to talk about movie trailers. And I'm going to refer to the new Ghostbusters as coming out as a parallel to Dark of the Moon. Now, when we're four movies in with the Michael Bay universe, we know what to kind of expect. So, yeah, there's going to be some complaining. There's going to be some overanalyzing. But it's based on a history of knowing what to expect in the movies. We see a trailer. We voice our concerns. We discuss it. But it's something we're used to at this point. But I have seen a lot of controversy over this Ghostbusters trailer. And I just wanted to bring this up. Because you can't look at a 2-minute trailer and extrapolate the entire movie based on a trailer. You can have concerns. You can have questions. It's like Dark of the Moon. You can voice your concerns, but when you sit there, and now I have not looked for any videos. I have not done anything as far as research. I'm just using this as a general comment. If you have made this kind of video, I am not talking about you. But if you make an hour-long video based on how wrong this movie is, based on the trailer, which I have been told people have seen this kind of video. I've not looked at it myself, so I don't know. But here's the thing. If your powers of probability are so great that you can extrapolate an entire movie's quality from a 2-minute trailer, why are you not in Vegas making money? Because that's some hell of a damn probability factor right there. So what I'm asking for everybody, and this is me. If you have concerns about a trailer, if you think there's going to be a problem, if you're a fan of the property and you see some concerns, voice them. Have rational discussions about them. But don't sit there and say, this whole movie is going to suck because of what we saw in a 2-minute trailer. You can't judge a 60, 80, 70, 80, 90-minute movie based on 2 minutes of a trailer. The trailer is – how many times have we seen stuff in the trailer that wasn't even in the movie? It's just stuff they shot for the trailer that was to get our attention. And again, what I'm saying is this is going to be the exact same thing when Transformers 5 comes out. We're going to get these trailers. People are going to start diving into extrapolating why this movie is going to suck. But like I said, when you have a history of four movies in, you can kind of guess you know what's going to happen. But if this is a new movie, sort of a possible new franchise, you can't sit here and say this movie is going to suck because of A, B, C, D, and E. Let's just go into this rationally with all these big upcoming summer blockbusters. Let's watch the trailer. Let's discuss it honestly. Let's voice our concerns. But let's just watch the movie and then make the call. And because the more we argue about it, the less people will go to see it because they may be said that, oh, so-and-so said this movie's bad. I'm not going to see it. What if the movie's good? What if that lack of people going kept us from getting more movies in a good series? Possible?
Way to go, Don.
I don't know.
Very good. Good job. I agree, Don. Except
but you also have to consider like when the studio is paying off the critics.
Which happened.
Yeah, you know, to review it a certain way.
Well, so I want to say this. I want to say this. So, Don, I'm not defending Transformers. The Michael Bay movies. Do not assume that I am. But occasionally you can have like a really crappy series of movies like the Fast and the Furious. And then it goes in a completely other direction. It's still bad, but in a really fun kind of way. Where they basically became the Justice League with cars. Like, which movie? That was the fifth one or so when basically the Fast and the Furious movies changed course. John, am I right?
Yeah, it's number five.
Yeah.
Important question, however. Was there a change of directors involved?
Oh, I think so. Right?
Yeah, I don't think they have consistent directors.
Yeah.
Okay, so speaking of the Fast and the Furious here, like, let's talk about Star Trek Beyond. Now, we've seen that trailer, and I think we're all basically on the same page of how we feel about what that movie's going to be based on that trailer.
Yeah.
How does that fit into Don's theory?
I would like to be the dissenting voice on that one, actually. I believe in Simon Pegg. I saw an interview with him right after that trailer came out, and he looked so disheartened at what they had done with the movie he wrote in that trailer. I want to believe that he, as a Star Trek fan, can make a decent Star Trek movie, and because of him, I am going to reserve judgment on that. In this
because
one
we've never seen a Star Trek fan make a bad movie before.
Oh no,
Nemesis. But Don,
Nemesis, the movie whose script I read and was convinced it was fan fiction.
But I, in respect to Ghostbusters, I agree with Don 100%.
Me too.
I wish I could, but I just can't. I'm sorry, Don.
Oh, no, it's fine. It's just...
I'm not spreading my hate, though. I'm internalizing my hate. So.
And the thing is, like, the underlying premise of what Don is saying is applicable no matter what. You know, have rational discussion. Express your honest opinions. But, you know...
Respect that other people have their opinions.
Yeah, be respectful. Yes. Be mindful. Your opinion's not the be-all, end-all. And just, you know, hold it back. Let people make their own decisions. Yeah.
And literally, if you're sitting there and you're extrapolating that this movie is going to suck based on a trailer, you really need to go to Vegas and make a hell of a lot of money because you have mastered the probability factors and need to do something with it other than sit there and complain about a movie.
Though I do believe it is fair to say that you can look at a trailer and decide that the movie is probably not for you. Not necessarily that it sucks, but that you don't want to see it. Because that, of course, is the purpose of a trailer, to decide whether you want to see
exactly
a movie or not. I really do appreciate, though, that you made the distinction there between the Ghostbusters situation and the Transformers situation. Because I was talking about this on Twitter the other day. It's like, you know, there's a point beyond which optimism makes no sense. It's like, I'm going to be the seventh person to eat this spotted mushroom, and maybe I'll be the one who doesn't drop dead. You know, there's a point beyond which optimism is self-defeating with movies. And I think for, you know, Transformers 5, I don't think they could make a trailer that could make me, you know, excited to see that. Which is not to say that I'm not going to see that, because Giga Beetle is paying me.
Nice. Okay, so let's see here.
I hope we can keep accumulating money until that comes out, and we can like send you to an Elmo draft house or something.
Oh, that'd be great.
Oh, that would be nice.
Okay, so real quick,
Rob, what's on T-Formers?
No. Questions, feedback. No? Sorry. Had
I don't know. I'm looking at the order. It's in the show notes.
Yeah.
Okay, go
ready
ahead.
To go.
Go ahead. Also on T-Formers, Rob.
Okay, also on T-Formers, we have got pictures and names for the new Minicon weaponizer assortment. I like the look of these. And we're going to try and get the Lord Dumatron name through again. So fingers crossed, I guess.
Eventually it has to stick.
Yes. We've also got the details and cover images for the next part of All Hail Optimus, Transformers number 52. Also, incidentally, XV reviewed More Than Meets the Eye number 51 this week. And lastly, we've got a really neat set of comic storage boxes shaped like Optimus Prime.
I like that.
Or printed as Optimus Prime, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah,
printed. Well, both.
Yeah,
the short box is the cab and the long box is the trailer.
It's actually shorter than a short box. Mm-hmm. It's a custom-made short box, so the proportions are right. But, I mean, boxes in Optimus Prime kind of have, you know, similarities in their design to start with.
Yeah.
No, I thought that was really cool. And, I mean, they're a little bit on the expensive side, but I kind of get it just because it is a custom print job on a lot of large surfaces.
Yeah.
Cool looking.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Also, before we move off that, the one important comic detail for Transformers number 52, Livio Remondelli's on interiors, do with that knowledge as you will.
Oh, I missed that.
Okay, so let's see here. I really like this one, so I wanted to mention it, and I don't think I responded to it on Twitter. Let's see here. So at SIC, I've always said at Sick Guy, but it's capital letters. SIC Guy, Sick Guy, Denjo. In respect to our upcoming BotCon retrospective, he says, I believe there's only one true favorite BotCon story. And that has to be when J.D. Church tried to get Fort Max's attention. Well, stay tuned to next week's episode. You may enjoy that. Okay.
I never get rid of my archive audio.
Nope, you sure don't. So you can always send us an email at contact@tfradio.net or leave us a voicemail at 931-99-GOBOT. That's 931-994-6268. That's probably the best way to get us because I'm most likely to use those because I don't get many. But we do get email, and sometimes I respond to them directly, sometimes I don't. And again, you can tweet at us at TF Radio. Of course, this again was from Twitter, or sometimes I pull these from YouTube comments. And I actually look and respond to YouTube comments now.
Amazing.
I know. I'm not like afraid anymore. I'm not afraid anymore. Home Alone. Okay. So, So I guess if you want to, you can follow us on Twitter.
If you want.
You know, there's stuff. I don't know. Maybe this weekend or next weekend, we might have some new Transformers toys or something from BotCon up there. News. Actually, this is our last chance to plug this stuff. So, yes, follow us at TF Radio. It's the last BotCon.
LBC.
Yeah, we are going to be we're going to be tweeting so much stuff. Photos, news, stuff that's going on. What we're eating. Yeah, it'll be like a 360 degrees BotCon experience at TF Radio.
Your life will not be complete without it.
Don't wait.
On your Oculus Rift, follow at TF Radio, and get your 360 degree BotCon experience.
Don't wait for the retweets. Follow us at TF Radio.
Be part of the retweets.
Be part of the retweets. Yep. Okay. So, thanks, guys. Like next week, I'm going to see you.
I'll be there too.
Yeah.
Paul's going to be there.
All right, Paul.
Awesome, Paul. Maybe Paul will be able to, some cute girls will hit on him.
Yeah, representing the land down under.
He comes from the land down under. Okay.
Hey, Paul, bring a cute and cuddly koala with you so we can have a massy fill
in. We'll put some shrimps on the Barbie. Oh, God, I hate myself.
The koala
sometimes
would probably attack me less than Massey.
Paul probably hates us.
He hates us. Actually, no, I think he loves us, but probably hates himself because of it.
Okay. He loves us, but he doesn't want to be publicly associated with us.
That's true. And again, you can also follow us at facebook.com/TF Radio. We will have news and photos up there, just not as timely as on Twitter. So, and I have, by this point, I've pretty much completely lost my voice. So I will just have to tweet now for the rest of the week. Hopefully that'll work. That'll work at work tomorrow. Probably not. Okay, for the guys, I'm Brian Kilby. I'll see you later. Have a good one.
Take care, everybody. See all y'all next week at BotCon.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TF Radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Radio Free Cybertron, the original Transformers internet radio show since 1999. 100% girlfriend free since 1999.